We're getting back to spooky, Diz nerds. Today we talk all about scary stuff that you can find year-round at the Universal Parks, and we armchair imagineer a Hocus Pocus sequel. Hello! All the spooky stuff and so much more on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks podcast!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond. Boo to you, homies. Today, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, who smells children. From the Churro Fund, it's Miriam Kenley.
Ooh. I'm sorry, what do you do?
She smells children.
Yeah, like from Hocus Pocus. I think I really identify more with Mary, though. You know, she's always trying to find snacks and like she just loves to hang out.
Oh, I understand now.
Okay, well, here I got another one. Here it goes. And finally, comedian, Disnerd, and virgin who lit a candle. It's Mark Andrada. No? We're not Hocus Pocus? Come on, man. This is good stuff.
Yeah, I'm just no selling your joke because it's funnier.
Boo. We're going to be talking to Hocus Pocus. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm going to be really honest. I'd never seen Hocus Pocus until
I just can't believe it.
Yeah, never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, man. Like,
first
I knew of it. I knew of the Sanderson sisters and I knew who was in it, but I'd never actually like watched it. So this was an interesting exercise to prep for our segment today, doing a Hocus Pocus sequel. And you guys know that there actually is a Hocus Pocus sequel that is in development.
Really?
Finally.
Yeah.
So excited.
It's for Disney Plus. The sequel that they got ready in development, apparently Adam Shankman is directing. I love me some Adam Shankman. I don't know if he's the right guy for this movie, but that's like, I mean, we can talk about that if you want. It's being written by Jen D'Angelo, who is an actress and a producer, but doesn't have a lot of writing credits. In fact, she doesn't have any. So I'm a little surprised. When I read who was involved with this, I was a little disappointed, but it is a Disney Plus joint and maybe that's why. But Shankman's great. If you know Adam Shankman, he's done a ton of stuff. Hairspray, Rock of Ages, a bunch of cool things, but he's a choreographer. He's come from the choreography world. Mm-hmm. When you get Shankman, I think that's the kind of movie you think you're going to get. You know what I mean? You're going to get something very musical, which I think lends really well to Bette Midler. And the idea is that they're trying to get the same cast back, or at least the three witches, which is amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if comedy is his thing, but maybe it's Jen D'Angelo's thing. Even though she hasn't really written something, that maybe she'll kick butt. Who knows? It is for Disney Plus. So I don't know, man. I would have liked to see more comedic peeps involved with this thing. What do you guys think?
Maybe it's going to be a straight up horror.
Could be.
Then what's Wes Craven doing? Like, well, you know, why Adam Shankman? Are they gonna be dancing? Is this gonna be like Evil Dead the musical? A Hocus Pocus musical would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know there will be at least one musical number.
Yeah, they gotta have more. You got Bette Midler, man. Like, she'd be singing the whole time. I'm saying. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, we're gonna talk about that. But before we do, I wanted to mention something. We did an episode a few episodes back on Halloween Horror Nights mazes done a la Disney and what that would be like. And you know what? We got a lot of feedback from a lot of our friends in the community giving us ideas of things they'd like to see. Halloween Horror Nights, Disney style mazes. So we're going to do a little bit of Insta shout outs, but we're going to Insta shout out our friends and talk about some of their super cool, spooky Disney Halloween Horror Night ideas.
D-Public presents Insta shout outs.
Right.
Okay. You guys ready for some of these Halloween Horror Night maze ideas?
Yeah, let's shout
them out.
So
ready.
Okay. So the first one is from @WDW_bathrooms. And I know what you're thinking, but it's not a bathroom maze.
Oh,
although that might be kind of fun.
Yeah. Scariest place of all.
Oh, they could also add your locker room to the bathrooms. But no, I'm sorry. It's just not when, a bathroom maze.
Just when you think it's over, you're in the locker room. Oh, no. Terror.
Instead, this is going to be a Heffalumps and Woozles maze from Winnie the Pooh.
Ooh, yeah. Like a psychedelic maze. Cool.
Yeah, it might be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Kind of into it.
Super fun. Great idea.
It might be pretty, Miriam, with all the pretty colors.
Hate it. Yes. Okay. The next one is from at the Christopher Perrin, and he gave us a few ideas. He said Night on Bald Mountain, just all of Pinocchio, Snow White's Scary Woods, and the Haunted Mansion Graveyard.
Wow. Ooh, specifically a walk through the graveyard.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Cool. Well, that'd be cool. What was the second last one?
Snow White's
Scary Woods.
Yeah, the spooky forest.
And the huntsman is chasing you the whole time.
Yeah. Make the huntsman really scary and all those trees with their faces and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of with all of Pinocchio because that movie does freak me out. Yeah,
it's very scary.
And there's like the threat of you're going to be turned into a donkey the whole time.
Yeah, and you go inside a whale. We'll have a whole whale maze.
I see the whale would be comforting to me.
Like, What?
They seem fine in that whale, honestly. And like fish are always flowing in. They built a fire inside that thing and the whale seemed fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I think I could do the
it's
whale.
Like, run into the whale. It's safe. Exactly. Forget Storm Broly. Run into the whale's mouth. You're going to be just fine. Cool.
The next one is from at Neon Sasquatch 7. And what he said Zombie Tron.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Zombie Tron.
I even get it. It basically, there is a virus in the grid and it turns these programs like crazy. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. This is beautiful. Yep. So it's like your computer is being taken over. Yeah. It probably actually has happened in my computer.
Did I tell you about the terrible screenplay that I wrote about cyborg vampires?
No.
No.
It was the one that I wrote when I was at Disneyland. It's called Dead Batteries.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends with cyborg zombies. That's what happens next.
Is batteries with a Z?
You know what? It is now. Let me tell you, this script is bad.
You should capitalize the Z, too, for zombies.
Yeah, 100%.
Sounds
rad. I want to read this script.
No, pass it around. What? Are you not going to share it?
Okay, I got to get it off my other computer. Yeah, sure.
All right, nice.
Oh, it's on the hard drive, actually. It should be on the hard drive. Oh,
beauties.
It's just soaked in a mint julep, right?
Yes, that's right. Basically is.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, and then our last one is from our friends at Bobsleds and Banthas, and they said Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Escape from the Headless Horseman.
Nice.
I think it's very
awesome
cool.
Idea.
Yeah, that's a gimme for sure.
Could you do a combination? Could you get your scary woods and do all your scary woodsy things? Like you do the Snow White, you do the Headless Horseman. I don't know. We're talking about woods.
Bambi.
Bambi.
Literally. Bambi's mother comes back to life and is avenging her own death. Yes.
Or could you imagine you just walk into this like part of the woods and there's just Bambi's mother just quietly eating grass? Bang!
I don't like where you're going at all.
You're just like, you're just there to witness it? Oh my goodness.
That's all it is?
Yeah, that's it.
Because the movie didn't traumatize us enough. Let's watch a live reenactment.
Yeah, like be 5 feet away from that thing. Hear that gunshot ringing in your ear. That's spooky.
And they use that technology that they use in the shaman during the boat ride in Pandora that like makes eye contact with you.
Yeah.
So Bambi's mother will look up and make eye contact with the guest before.
Yeah.
Oh,
before the most terrible moment of all.
And also after while she's on the ground.
Oh, yes. Yes. Brutal. And as you walk away, maintains eye contact. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
This is great.
I like our
this
scary woods. Yeah.
And then at the end, they just play the Headless Horseman song. So it's everything's better. The Dapper Dans are out there waiting to sing.
This is the best. Yeah, because you'd have to get a horse in there, wouldn't it? Would that be a little something? Can you imagine going through a maze and hearing like a clomping?
Can't have a horse anywhere near there with all the screaming?
Well, they could fake it. They could fudge it, you know?
Just oh, yeah, a fake horse. Yeah.
You got to get a deaf horse.
Okay.
But can you imagine if they had a legit real horse in there? Oh, my God.
Yeah, deaf one.
Yeah, everyone would be walking in poop. That'd be crazy. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That would be, but it would be authentic, right? Because there would be poop on the floor. Oh, my goodness. You'd be like, Headless Horseman. Anyway, these are great.
Those are ideas for other Disney Halloween mazes.
Yeah, and so we're shouting out all those peeps, our good friends at Bobsleds and Banthas. Check those dudes out. Christopher Perrin, Neon Sasquatch, and the WDW Bathrooms. We love those guys. Yeah. Check out their feeds, guys, especially the toilets. You don't want to miss them. All right, friends. Well, let's get into this show, right? You want to do some segment time? Let's get spooky.
Segment time, segment time, segment time.
A couple weeks back, we did our scariest things at Disney. And then one of our fans, our friend David Burns, is talking about you again, Dave, was like, how about the top three scary things at Universal, guys? Well, sure, let's do it. And we're going to do it right now. Thanks, Dave, for the suggestion. We appreciate it. So we're going to give you our top three scary things at Universal that are there year round. This isn't seasonal. This is just if you need some scary and it's June, they got you. Check these things out. Well, let's start with Miriam.
Okay, my number three, I actually really love. I'm not that scared of it, but I love it so much. I'm going to say it anyway. And that is Nocturne Alley in Harry Potter World.
Oh, it's yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
It is so cool. I love that mermaid skeleton. If I'm being honest, I don't want to spend a ton of time in there because it does kind of freak me out.
Yeah.
That's where park wizards go.
It's perfect.
You don't know what's going to happen in that alley.
Yeah, it's perfect because it's not like, it's not in your face scary. It's just eerie, right? You still want to walk around, but you still have got your guard up a little bit. You know what I mean? That's all you need sometimes. Yeah. Totes, my goats. It's some spookiness in there. It's tough for me to kind of assimilate like horror and scary with, you know, wizards, but they do a nice little job there. So it is kind of spooky.
Have you never read Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone?
Yeah, I read them, but I didn't find them scary. I read all the
Voldemort
books.
In the back of someone's head didn't scare you?
Not real.
You gotta read that as an 11-year-old. It will blow your mind.
Yeah, maybe because I was like 20 something, so I was
there you go.
Good place to hide, I think. Yeah, I agree. All right, why don't I go next? My number three is you know, and take this with a grain of salt. You might think, what are you, some wuss? But maybe, yeah. It doesn't take a lot to make me uneasy. And sometimes I think uneasy is more powerful than a big boo scare. And if you're a fan of Poseidon's Fury, which I am.
I love it.
Yeah. Poseidon's Fury, just even the queue, you're going down this like long, narrow tunnel into a temple. But there's a bit of atmosphere and some music. But the first show scene you get into is like this. I don't think it's a crypt. Maybe you can help me, Mark. It's like a, it's just like some weird room with glyphs. And these are the findings of the archaeologists, but they, it's literally a chamber that they seal. And then poof, the lights go out. And anytime I'm in the dark with a bunch of people and it's a tight room, I'm a little bit like, okay. And then the whole scene is kind of mapped out with the guide. It's all very dark and spooky. And yeah, it's a little off-putting. It's a little bit, it gets you in the mood.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's mine. Poseidon's Fury, the beginning. Scary.
My number three is the feeling that I get after going on Jimmy Fallon's Race Through New York. So I want to say that that feeling isn't scary. What I'm afraid of is that feeling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, what's the feeling?
It's this weird combination of like nauseous and like motion sick and also like having just knowing that I've wasted precious time. It's a weird combination of like, I don't feel like I'm a bit queasy. And also my choices in life were bad, you know, like that I'm afraid of that feeling.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the ride necessarily. I'm not afraid of like what happens after the ride. What I'm afraid of is my own state. Yeah. After going on that ride.
I get it.
So that's my number three.
Okay. That's scary. Yeah. I'll buy that scary. For a quarter.
Terrifying. Mm. It's terrifying.
All right. Let's swing on back over to Miriam. What's your scary stuff?
My number two is the cave in the King Kong ride, because that scare actor got me two times, even though I could see him scaring other people in line.
That's a great one. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way scarier than the ride itself is the key.
Yep. Ugh. I am a scaredy cat. A jump scare will get me every time, even when I can see it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I buy that. Yeah. And if you went to the ride when it first opened, it was littered with scare actors. Now you never know. Fun. Is there just one? There you go.
Well, at least when I went, there was just one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, Miriam, your number two is my number one. That was going to be my number one.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't be sorry. That's okay. You're allowed. We're allowed.
But you're afraid of that scare actor?
Yes, it's very scary. And then there's also that animatronic in there, that creepy animatronic.
What, the big
King Kong?
No, the like the shaman.
No, in the queue.
That like old lady shaman, like the witch.
Yeah, the witch. Oh, yes. The old cave witch that's in there. Don't care. Yeah. She looks like the crypt keeper from Creepshow.
Kinda. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kinda.
Again, the queue's better than the ride. Like by a mile. You know what I mean?
100%. 100% queue is better than the ride.
Yeah. So where does that take us then? Is it to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. All right. My number two, and you might say lame, but I don't care. This is what I got. Jaws. Jaws is scary. Jaws. The Jaws ride. Man, I know it's not there, but it is in Tokyo. If you're in Osaka, you can go on the Jaws ride still. It's still around. And the scene where you got pulled into the, what do you want to call it? Like the cannery or whatever it is, the little shack, and the lights go out and the stuff around starts to shake and water starts to flood in. And then boom, giant shark right beside you. Oof.
Horrifying.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's a little uneasy. Like if you're in the back row, like say, I don't know my port and starboard, but if you're on the right, that's where the shark's going to be. So if you're on the left, you get a little hosed. But if you're on the right side and maybe you haven't been on the ride before, there you go. Like, whoop, there it is. I will say another really scary part that doesn't exist in the ride anymore, and it was a very first gen version of the ride, was the scene right after that. Now they have these big explosions, but originally the scene was the big shark would actually bite the boat and drag the boat like 10 feet.
Right.
Sometime when it worked, it was terrifying because this, you would see this thing's like jaws on the boat. We've talked about this before. I suffer from, what is it? Submechanophobia. Is that what it's called? The idea of me falling in this water with all this mechanical stuff, mm-hmm. like swirling around me, possibly like pulling me under and squishing me and whatever, terrifies me. I don't want to go near that water. So all those things, the idea of this boat is being pulled, and I could fall out and be squashed by these, you know, robot sharks. Terrifying. That's my number two. Yeah.
It's very scary.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark, is it your number two? We said your number one. Do you want to just?
Yeah, that was my number one.
Okay. Yeah. So what was your number two then? If that was your number one, what's your number two?
There's a moment in the Fast and the Furious ride. When the cops are showing up. You know what I mean? And they're like, the FBI's here. Everybody be quiet. Everybody be quiet. And we all have to be quiet. We're on a party bus. You understand?
Yeah, we're having a great time.
Party happening.
Yeah.
There are people dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not enough people dancing, but there's people around.
Dude, I was in the middle of the dance circle.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. And then there's nothing like that. There's no feeling that can like ever stop. Everybody be quiet. The FBI is here.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here.
I was breathless.
We got to get out of here because the FBI is around. Horrifying. Like my stomach turns and I'm like, we got to go. We got to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my number
two. That's your number two. Oh, yeah.
That moment specifically in the Fast and the Furious.
And then the bigger bummer is after they kick us out. They like right after that, like what a disappointment. You get scared and then they pooch you to the curb.
Well, then you have to race away from the cops and you're racing around. And And then you don't even get the party at the end. It's
party's
get
over.
Out.
That's it. I came all the way to this party and didn't party.
And I'm like, what's up? I thought we were family. What's happening?
Yeah. Totes. Miriam.
You know what though? I never think about it because by that point, I'm just like so relieved that the chase is over. the FBI didn't ruin the party that I forget about the party.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I don't even like talking about it.
Miriam, I know you like talking about scary things. What's your number one scary thing at Universal?
Okay. So it's me knowing that they hold Halloween Horror Nights there. doesn't have to be going on. I just know that it happens and it scares me. I've never been to Halloween Horror Nights, and I can tell you I'm afraid of it. So there you have it.
Oh, boy. Is there any way we could get you on one of those mazes? Like, could we pick like the easiest maze? I just want to know if she would like conquer her fears.
I would have to be in the middle of two people. I'm not on the front and I'm not at the end. Like, okay. I'm sandwiched in between two people and then maybe.
Okay,
but it would have to be the tamest one there is.
So Mark.
And I can't be responsible for any injury to the people who are with me.
Perfect. So Mark will go in front.
Okay.
Sure. I'll go in the back. I'll guard the, you know, the six. I got your six.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then, so you'll go through if Mark leads the way.
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if I run over the top of anyone or fall back and hit like elbows, like I'm sorry for any injury. I can't be held responsible.
So either of us could get hurt. I thought I would just go forward, but you could go back too? Okay.
I might. If they're scaring.
I'll piggyback you through the whole thing. That way you can't run.
That seems like it might scare me more. If we're going at your pace and you're like, ooh, I'm into this.
Can I tell you
exactly? You've got to move slow through those things.
Can I tell you exactly what's going to happen? Miriam's going to freak out in the queue. She's going to be like, guys, this is a bad idea. You know what?
I'm going to be very upset and scared.
But Mark and I are going to be like, it's cool. We got you. It's not that big a deal. Come on. We're going to go in. The first time there's a scare actor, not even like a big boost scare, she's going to say, nope, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. We're going to be like, come on, this guy's not scary. He's standing right here. And then the next, I think it's going to take one or two scares, like a legit scare. Mm-hmm. Miriam is going to bury her face into the back of Mark's back, essentially. So she can't see anything and just literally conga line with him.
Mm-hmm. This is cute that you think I'm making it through the whole thing. I will bail out the exit. I have no.
I think you're going to close your eyes and hold on to Mark and bury your forehead into his back and just hold on to his like his arms. And he's going to walk through and you're going to conga line with him. And I'm going to photograph the whole thing, video.
I love your confidence in me getting through the whole maze.
I think you make it.
I'm extraordinarily calm in these situations. But I do, there is a running commentary out of my mouth the entire time where I talk about how scary everything is. Entire time I'm like, this is horrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the scariest thing I've ever seen. I am so terrified. I don't like any of this. Like the entire time I'm just saying
that. Is that real feelings or is that like.
Oh yeah, no, that's real. No, that's, okay. But that's how I react in those moments where I'm just like, this is awful. This is so terrifying. I hate everything that's, look at this. This is awful. I don't care for this one bit. No.
Does that make you feel better? Like saying it out loud?
I don't know. That's just how it happens. I was in this one haunted house once with a friend and the two of us, God bless him. He used to work there too. That was the crazy thing about it. He was more scared than I was. And we stopped in this one room that was like made to look like a child's bedroom. And there were like all these dolls everywhere. And we walked in the room and I had my hands behind my back and I was like, oh yeah. Oh, sure. Uh-huh. In my head, and I'm like, which one of these dolls is a person? Which one of these dolls is going to stand up and attack me at any minute? Which one could it possibly be? And I'm strolling around looking in the eyes of these dolls and I'm like, nope, not this one. And there's one real obvious one that's like on the bed sort of strung up with her arms. And I'm like, no chance it's that one because that's the one that you know what I mean? Like they make you look at that one and go, oh, this one's a person, but the real one's going to come out from the other side, like the closet or something. And my friend is standing there with his back to the one that's for sure fake. And I look at the one behind him and I look at her leg and it's peeking out from under her nightie, right? This little doll. And I'm like, that's a real leg. Like that's a human's leg. Mm-hmm. And just as I realize it and I go to point and go, it's that one, man. She's right by his ear. She just looks up at me and she goes, it wasn't me. Right in his ear. And this guy, grown man, like man screamed, you know what I mean? Like he did a full man scream. Oh, and bolted out the door. And I looked at her and I was like, that was excellent. What you did was excellent. And then even she started laughing because it was like, you nailed him. Like you got him good. Great. Great. It's one of my favorite memories of a haunted house ever.
Oh my God.
See, I love to watch people get scared. I don't do that well with the scaring, but if you guys like to watch people get scared, I'm the perfect person to go with.
Yeah. So come inside. You'll be fine.
I've had that job. Like I've worked some haunted mazes, like I've directed them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got no problem with this. And I would walk into my maze and I would over and over again. But I forget. And then some of the other directors like, hey, come see my maze. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I go the other maze. I'm like, ah. And I realize I knew all my scares, right?
Yeah. You had
memorized. You don't know them. I was like, oh, geez. I tried to keep cool, but it was tough.
Also, the scare actors didn't want to jump out at you too much because you scare them. Like, you're fired.
Yeah. They don't want to. Maybe. Yeah. I don't think I'd be that far behind Miriam in the scare department. You know, so you'd have to hold it down for everyone, Mark.
I'm golden. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. You just got to fold you got to put your arms behind your back like you're going for a casual stroll,
mm-hmm.
or you cross your arms in the front because I have to put my hands somewhere. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'm going to flail and punch something, like just instinctually something jumps out at me, I'm afraid that I'm gonna hit back, so mm-hmm. I just lock my arms in a position and then I'm like, okay, I'm fine, everything's fine.
That's a neat point, man. I feel like if I lock my arms in my front, I think I would probably swivel with my shoulders and be like, ugh, you know?
Yeah, you don't have time to unfold your arms. And like, by the time you've unfolded your arms to like, I'm going to hit this thing, or you know what I mean? Like, or I'm going to protect myself
somehow. Just to throw my hands up because I'm scared and shake them, but, or grab both sides of my face.
Yeah. But by the time you go to undo your arms, you're like, oh, okay, I realize what's happening. I'm just going to keep my arms folded.
Yeah. Okay.
It's the impulse stopper. That's what I call it.
I'm glad we got you, homie. I'm glad we got you to, you know, hold it down and make sure we're
okay. I got your, I'd say I got your back, but apparently this time I got your front.
Yep. All right. Well, my last one, my number one scary thing during the just regular season of Universal, not Halloween Horror Nights, is your meeting with Blue, the raptor. Here's the thing. Blue is out there trying to stir the pot, man. He's not just like, hey, let's meet Blue. Blue's going to just come up here and smile, put a paw on you, you know, a little claw over your shoulder and show his pearly whites, and you get a pick and you get a thumbs up and he does a thumbs up. No. You know, you've got the atmosphere and the rustling of the branches, a very raptor rustling. And then what they do is they have you kind of face the camera and the raptor kind of emerges, and he emerges kind of spookily, but then every now and then he kind of like fires at you, you know what I mean? And they've got that loud raptor screech, like, oh, I can't even do it. You know what I'm talking. We've all seen the Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah.
It's a pretty like distinct raptor growl, cowl, whatever you want to call it. It's just like, I can't do it. I'm not good at this. I need a sound in my board with a raptor growling it. It's spooky. It's scary. You think, oh, he's there. And then he kind of jumps at, lunges at you quickly. And you're like, you know, that's all I need, man. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need this photo. That's all right. That's all right. Nice to meet you, Blue. Yeah. Thumbs up. Bye-bye. That's my number one.
It's a pretty good number one. At first, when you said Blue, I thought you were talking about Blue from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
What? I don't even know what that is. What is that?
Is that too deep a cut for everybody?
It is for me. Miriam?
I wish I knew. It sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a great cartoon. Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. Both of you should watch it. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It's exactly friends. What you think. It's a home for imaginary friends.
Okay.
Like they've been retired?
Or they're like, they haven't gone out. Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, that's all our spooky, ooky stuff at Universal Studios in the summertime, in the regular time, not the spooky time. If you have an idea for something spooky that we missed, let us know. What's up? And we like themeparks.com. Maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we won't. You never know. Guys, Hocus Pocus, you want to get into that?
Woo!
Woo! All right, we'll take a quick break and be right back with some Hocus Pocus.
We like theme parks podcast.
Armchair Imagineering.
All right, friends, it's Hocus Pocus. It's a movie. People really like it. I watched it this week. I got opinions about it. And apparently a Hocus Pocus sequel is coming down the pike with Disney Plus. But today we're going to give you our sequels, our versions of Hocus Pocus. And who knows? Maybe they haven't written this script yet. Maybe they'll borrow some of our ideas. Probably will. Yeah, I think they will. I'm pretty sure. Let's just talk about a little bit about Hocus Pocus first. Are you guys Hocus Pocus fans? Because I'm like a new set of eyes, but what's your connection to Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, I watch it every year. I love it.
Yes, watched it 3 times this year so far. I love it very much.
Ooh, so what do you think of it?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What do you mean? We love it.
What are you talking about? So what do you mean? Think of it.
I just want to know what you love about it. Like, what is it that you love about it?
I'm sensing that maybe you don't love things about it.
There we go. This is it. He's on the attack. I can see it coming. This is a Tron gotcha moment where it's like, no, let's hear about what you think is so good so that I have some ammunition to tell you that you're wrong.
I liked the movie fine. I liked it fine. I'm not in love with this movie.
Sounds familiar.
I liked it fine.
Fine is not a good description of a great movie.
You know what? The movie was even good. Look, the witches are amazing. Those three women are amazing.
Yes.
I want more of that. But you got to remember, that's a kid's movie. Because everything kind of outside of the Sanderson sisters, I was like, it's okay. It's a kid's movie.
Oh, come on. You don't love Billy. How can you not love Billy?
Billy's
okay. He's the perfect undead boyfriend.
Yeah, he's fine. Mm. He's just
you're
fine.
Out of your mind.
I wanted more Sandersons. I wanted more. Bette Midler was so good in that. That's probably my new favorite Bette Midler movie. Legit.
Well, Beaches is the best one, but sure, one's second.
Beaches just got all pushed, just got olayed by Hocus Pocus. No, I really I like the movie.
The little girl is great. Binks?
Thora Birch, yeah. Oh, a cat, talking cat. I mean, it was okay. It was... I will just say I enjoyed it. I was like, that's cool for what it is. It feels like a holiday movie. That's a little bit okay. But I thought the best parts were every time the witches were around. They were amazing. The song was amazing. I want to hear more Bette Midler singing. Sing, girl. Get up there. It should have been a musical. It should have been more witches, less kids.
I like the image of you encouraging Bette Midler. Like, you got it, girl. Go up there and sing.
Yeah, she needs my help.
You got it.
You got the gift, Bette.
Believe in yourself.
You can do this. You, Bette, are a star.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, Chris. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it, yeah. Bette. You can do it. Trust me. Ask Mark Andrade. He'll back me up.
Yeah, I got your back on
this. Well, we have, three new ideas, three new pitches for Disney Plus sequels of Hocus Pocus Part 2. And here they are now. Who wants to go first? Who's got a rocking idea?
Mine's probably the shortest.
All right.
Because I can sum it up pretty quick. So I'll go first.
Can I go second? I feel like Miriam's going to have the big dog. So I want to go second.
I don't think I am.
I think you got the good one. I think you love the this
big dog. Is that Roman Reigns? Who's a big dog?
Just the best idea. I know you're going to do your thing. You're going to do something funny. We're all going to go, that's awesome. And then...
No, mine's not funny. Mine's serious. It's actually a serious spin on it. What happens in mine is the Sanderson sisters, they get back together. They've split up. I don't want to get into too much of that. Like, one of them's in LA. She's a chorus girl, like a jazz dancer in a show in Los Angeles. And the other two have sort of stayed behind and, like, you know, they're doing their thing. And she comes home and the three of them have to get together and team up and put on a benefit show to save like a community center that's about to go out of business.
This is the Muppets.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. They have to get together. They put on this show to save a community center.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it Hocus Pocus 2 Electric Boogaloo.
The plot of Muppets.
No. It is the plot of Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Is it? Oh, is it?
100%. If you're going to call me out on my reference, Chris, please call me out.
Correctly. The right reference?
It's entirely possible that Breakin' 2 got their format from the Muppets, though.
Yeah, I think so. I think let's get the gang back together. Let's go on a road trip. Let's collect everybody. Oh, no, this building. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd see that movie, first of all. I'd see that movie.
I would see it.
Okay. Thank you. I like it. All right. Well, here's my
perfect movie.
Here's my serious idea. Okay. It's not great, and it's definitely half-baked, but here we go. So when the movie ends, the last image you have is Jay and Ice trapped in their cages, and the book with the eyeball reopens. Magic is still looming in Salem. So let's extend the scene. We're back in the Sanderson's home. And there is Jay and Ice, and they've been in there for a couple of days now. They haven't eaten. They're sickly. They're tired. And the book opens up, and I think the book is starting to realize that something's wrong, that the Sanderson sisters are gone. They're not coming back. And so that one beady eye looks over at Jay and these two kind of sickly kids, and the book tries really hard, and it goes, and a mouth opens on the book. And then the book opens up and it flicks to a page and it starts to do an incantation. Now the book is doing a spell and Ice and Jay are like just kind of super foggy. But the idea is that they're now under the influence. They're in a trance from the book, the Book of the Dead, whatever it is.
And the book of the Necronomicon.
Yeah, it's the Necronomicon, yes. So the book opens up the thing with magic, the cells, they come out of the cages, and then we're whisked away to the scene of the crime. We're in the cemetery, you know, the sacred ground, and the book is looking for the Sanderson sisters. Like he feels their energy, that they're there. All he finds is the little stone bits of Winifred, the remaining little pieces of stone. So he knows that they're done. And he's like, no. And then they walk up onto a grave and his eyes start to light up and starts to laugh and sing, because he can talk now, right? We have a talking book because the mouth opened. And these two guys are in a trance and they begin to chant. And there's a, you know, lights flash and evil magic swirls and the camera pulls away. And now, boom, 30 years later, you're back in Salem. Life has gone on. Danny is now works for the city. She's like a town official and she's the keeper of historical records in Salem. So she's the one who like believes in ghost stories and kind of perpetuates all the lore. And I actually saw real witches. And so the kids all like her and she has like a little museum and very cool. And everybody likes her. And it's kind of a thing. Tourists come and they talk to her, to Danny. Max now is a science teacher. I think after years and years of telling his friends that, witches. And like, we did this to these witches. And they were like, you're a loser. He's kind of detached himself from that history. And so what's the opposite of magic? Science. So he was like, I'm going to be a science teacher. This is real. Him and his girl had kids. He's got 3 kids. They're beautiful. They're great. Life is good until kids go missing in Salem again. Same old story. Where are these kids? What's happening? So Danny is kind of suspicious and says, you know, I think there's kids missing. What's going on? Like, is this the Sanderson sisters back? We destroyed them. This is impossible. And Max is like, forget it. That world doesn't exist. And she's like, you're crazy. You lived this world. Anyway, Max doesn't think a thing out of it until one of his kids go missing. And then he's like, okay, Danny, what do we do? And Danny's like, well, let's retrace our steps. So they find their way back to the scene of the crime, and they're having a hard time finding anything. And then they realize, they go to the Sanderson sisters' house and they see that the book is gone. And they're like, who are the last people to see this book? And they're like, we got to find Ice and Jay. So now they're going on an adventure trying to find Ice and Jay. Meanwhile, more and more kids are missing in town. So Ice is now in prison and Jay is a priest, and Jay has blocked everything in his mind. He's a priest now. He's a man of the cloth. And they're trying to be like, what happened, Jay? And he's kind of, Jay's the dumb one, right? Ice is the thug and Jay's the dumb one. And Jay's like, I don't know, man, but you know, I'm one with the Lord now. And it's like, we got to remember, like, what happened that night? I don't know. I just knew that I had evil in me and I had to come here and get it out. And then I was like, oh, dude. But he goes, but you know who might remember is Ice. Where's Ice? So they go to the penitentiary and there's Ice. And now he's got tattoos that say Ice all over him. And he's kind of running things at the prison. And he puts on a real tough exterior because on the inside, man, he's suffering because he has all these visions of that night when he was taken over by this evil and he did all these things and he doesn't remember. He has all these flashbacks that are just haunting him and he doesn't know what it is. So he sees Jay and he's like, Jay, you've got to exorcise this demon. And he's like, well, these guys want to know, like, tap into that memory banks. And so they remember that night in the graveyard. And they're like, the last thing they remember was walking up to this grave. And we realize that the grave is Billy Butcherson's grave. And then the rest is kind of half baked. But the idea is we're kind of doing a Terminator 2 here. You find out that Billy Butcherson, the book has taken over Billy Butcherson's body, and the book is a part of his body now. So Billy Butcherson is a vessel for this book and is now this warlock. So Billy Butcherson is this dangerous, magical warlock. And he opens up his chest and the book is there and he flips the pages and he's la 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 and bad stuff happens. I don't have a reason why he's stealing the kids. I just thought it connected to the first film. Maybe he's going to eat him. I don't know.
Maybe he's going
to
eat him. Yeah, he's going to eat him.
But
always a good answer.
The two kids, well, they're not kids, Max and Danny with Jay. Jay's helping them for some reason. I just thought comic relief.
Right.
They're on an adventure. They're like, okay, we got to go find Billy Butcherson. And so they go looking for him. More kids are missing. They realize he's too powerful and the only way they can defeat him is to get the Sanderson sisters. And this is like very Terminator 2. They try to find some more magic. Some way they're going to reincarnate the Sanderson sisters. Sanderson sisters are back and it's the Sanderson sisters against the evil book in this warlock
right.
But now they're fighting for good because they realize the error of their ways.
So we're how deep into this movie before we see the Sanderson sisters?
Takes a bit. So that's why.
I just want to clarify here for a second that Christopher Bond's main complaint about the first movie was that there weren't enough Sanderson sisters and then had free reign to create from scratch in his own wonderful imagination a sequel to this movie where he could rectify that by making the Sanderson sisters happen. Entire time. He chooses to not have the Sanderson sisters, who he thought there were not enough of in the first movie, enter until the third act of this movie?
Yeah.
Well, is that what I'm hearing?
No, not the third act. I don't know. I think somewhere in the fun and games, you know, somewhere. I think when you break into two, you get the Sanderson sisters because the third act of the Sanderson sisters need to fail, right? So let's say act two, the second act. But I will say that someone who is a big fan of this feature, being you, had all kinds of opportunities to create and build a world beautifully and with a great new narrative, but chose to just take the Muppets narrative and jam it into Hocus Pocus 2. So eye for an eye.
Breaking 2.
First of all, it's Breaking 2. Second of all, I, Chris,
am lazy. You understand? I literally read what I said off of the Wikipedia page of Breakin' 2. Do not underestimate how lazy I am. So when it comes, it's not this, you can't give me a note on my fandom here. If you give me a note on anything, it's my lack of readiness.
Well, let's put them all together. Let's just pull all those things together, Mark. And fair let's enough. Just say we both did our own thing. But I like to call it Sanderson anticipation.
Okay.
Okay? Because yeah. That's what you're there for. You want it. And I think you bring in some like good actors, some good comedic peeps, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, Danny. Danny is...
DeVito. Danny DeVito.
Danny is a... girl. So I'm going to go ahead and put Kate McKinnon as my Danny because she'd be okay. A little bit wild and wacky.
Sure.
And Max, who's your funny straight man? Bill Hader. Boom. Done. Like this movie's kicking butt. Yeah.
I love Chris complimenting his own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jack Ice is Jack Black. Jack Black is Ice.
Boy, this movie's great. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And Jay, who's like kind of like empty? Keanu Reeves. Jay's Keanu Reeves. This thing's a killer.
Jay's right. Blonde.
You put a wig on him. This is Hollywood. What?
You put a wig on him. Don't even dye his hair. Put a wig on him.
Put a wig on him. It'll look exactly like Jay. Anyway, so the end is kind of half cooked, and I don't know what happens or why, but I love the idea of now the Sanderson sisters are dancing and doing crazy potions and up against this actual evil guy, and we'll figure out some kind of reason why they should, or maybe at first they're like, no, we're going to eat you, and then like, maybe we shouldn't, or whatever. We'll figure that out. That's some.
What's the song they're going to do? Because they did I Put a Spell on You in the first one, so what's the song in this one?
I think they sing three or four songs. I think they're all original. I think half of this is a musical.
Okay.
Yeah, I think once they come out here, it's a musical madness.
Okay.
Maybe at the beginning you can get a song like about Salem. Like there can be like the kids of the Salem school performing with the whatever that Danny's at or at the museum, or maybe there's a
Salem
song
Junior High.
Yeah. I mean, you can finesse it, but I think, you know, there's probably five or six songs in this thing, and at least three of them are the Sanderson sisters. I think when they arrive, it's like razzle dazzle, you know, we're back in town. It's the Sanderson girls, you know, and you're like,
okay, yeah. How about this? What if it had to be a jukebox musical? What if it had to be pre-existing? I almost said pop songs. It doesn't have to be pop songs. Pre-existing songs.
Oh, wow. Jukebox, Hocus Pocus.
You got any? What would you put in the new
movie? I do, but one of them is going in my movie.
So. Okay. Don't spoil it.
Please. Keep that arrow in your quiver. I don't know. How about, what is Hocus Pocus-y? I'm trying to think of something that's a little dark and mysterious, but fun.
Black Magic Woman?
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Who wrote Black Magic Woman again? It was Fleetwood Mac wrote Magic Woman. Yeah.
You know, you can go your own way.
Well, they didn't make it famous. Black Magic Woman was made famous by somebody else. I can't remember who, but Black Magic
Santana?
Woman
was. Was it Santana that made it?
Yeah, maybe. I think it was. Yeah, I think you're right. Santana. Yeah.
I could be wrong. I could be way off. Anyway. I don't know. I don't know the music. I don't have that. You know, I just have the form of a plan. Changing the trope, make the villains the heroes and create a new super villain, you know, who is in the image of the original villains. Like, because that's the only way you can have a really good villain is if they're even more powerful than the heroes. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Who does Superman fight? He fights himself, a better version of himself who's evil.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there you go. What do you think? Any thoughts?
Yeah, it sounds great. I do want to correct myself. I looked it up. Fleetwood Mac did not write Black Magic Woman, but they were the first ones to record it as a single.
Oh, okay. Well, then
that's why I thought that. They did it in concert. I just assumed that they had written it.
It wasn't Santana. We were both wrong. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do we know? All right. Well, Miriam, you have any? I'd love some feedback here. I mean, come on. This is my elevator pitch.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great. Peter Green actually wrote Black Magic Woman.
Oh.
I'm just irritating Chris now.
Nobody wants to hash out my idea with me. Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, it was pretty great. It's pretty fleshed out. I don't want to brainstorming songs to put in it because I know Miriam has a song in hers and I don't want to accidentally say the one that's in hers.
Well, Miriam, let's scoot on over to yours. I'm really excited. Let's hear about
Did yours
Hocus
have
Pocus.
A title?
Mine?
Oh, yeah. What's your title? Yeah.
It's Hocus Pocus The Reckoning.
Okay. Hocus Pocus 2, The Reckoning.
Yeah. No, I don't even put the 2 there.
Not even the 2, just Hocus Pocus.
Because it makes it feel like, you know, even more dramatic. Yeah. There you go. What's yours, Miriam?
Okay. So mine is kind of a mix of The Craft and Freaky Friday.
Nice.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds great.
So it's going to start with three teenage girls having a seance. It's kind of now and then-ish. They don't think it's real, but they want to do something spooky for Halloween. And they're in the Sanderson sisters' house. And as they're doing their seance, the book wakes up and they accidentally bring the Sanderson sisters back. And in the process of that, they do a Freaky Friday swap. So the Sanderson sisters end up in the teenage girls' bodies, and the teenage girls end up in the Sanderson sisters.
Nice.
Meanwhile, they have a very fun boy best friend who he's late to the seance. I take it back. Keanu Reeves. I was thinking maybe one of the Glee kids. So he's late to the seance, and when he gets there, he finds the Sanderson sisters and he's freaking out. So he's like going to try and find a plan to vanquish them. Little does he know it's his best friends. And, it kind of follows the same lines as the first movie where they're trying to acquire children to stay young, even though they're young already. They're thinking like, oh, how much longer can we ride this out? We better be prepared when we get back into our own bodies, whatever. Billy gets woken up again, and it turns out he kind of ran the apothecary when he was alive, and we didn't know that in the first movie. And so the girls find him and he's like, it's okay, I can help. I have a potion. We just need to get all the ingredients together and we'll vanquish these women. That's when my song, Love Potion Number 9, comes in, and you see a whole flashback to Bette Midler accidentally taking a love potion that Billy has made, and that's when they fell in love. And I don't know what the conclusion is. That's all I have written. I don't know how to wrap it up, but it gets wrapped up somehow, and that was that. Maybe they make the potion and somehow get them to drink it, and that's how it happens, but I don't really know. And the title is Hocus Pocus, The Witch is Back.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then the little tagline is, there's heck to pay.
I like there's heck to pay. Yeah. Can I pitch you more songs for yours?
Yes.
I also have a song pitch for yours, Chris. For Miriam's, could we also throw in Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe?
Yes.
That's a jam. Right.
And
there.
For Chris's, I thought Strange Magic by ELO.
Oh, yes.
I don't know that song.
Great.
You know what I mean? You don't know that Strange Magic by ELO?
No, I don't know that song.
You got to get into ELO, man. ELO's great.
Okay.
I mean, all their songs sound...
I know Don't Get Me Down and all that stuff. And Mr. Brightside.
A lot of their songs sound kind of like Peter Lynn kind of has a sound that he has for sure. But Strange Magic.
I like
it. Did you know that ELO wrote Xanadu? Can we talk about that for a little while?
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Xanadu, written by ELO.
Chris, I think your movie could also have a Billy singing Witchy Woman.
Mm-hmm. Witchy Woman, nice.
Oh, but also, it's also the book, right? The book's going to sing?
Sure, yeah.
I just thought there was a lot of comic possibility with having this like book that sings like with his little mouth, you know? I thought that was a brilliant idea that he grew a mouth. He was like, originally I was like, maybe he'll grow a whole body. I had another bad idea where he uses the like bodies, like the parts, because you know how he's all sewed up, that maybe the Jay and Ice are dead. Nobody finds them. And he cobbles their bodies together to make a body. But then I realized it's a kid's movie and I was like, nope.
I got it, Chris.
Yeah.
When the Sanderson sisters arrive, when they come back from the dead, the three of them sing a cover where you have to change the lyrics a little bit of Donovan's Season of the Witch.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you guys are all about taking songs that exist and jukeboxing them. And I'm about, let's make something original. Like this you could literally make this movie with like five or six songs on it. And then it is going to later become Hocus Pocus the Musical.
You're right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I sort of feel like the magic of her singing I Put a Spell on You is that you already knew it. So you were excited to hear her sing it.
For me personally, I was just keeping within what they had already created. But you're right. You're right. I mean, forget about this sequel business. If they just remake Hocus Pocus as a musical, a live musical, and then you can adapt that to be a movie as well, because that's how, in my opinion, that's how you would best milk it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows nothing about producing.
Well, but you can totally pull
theater to movies.
Think about Young Frankenstein, right? Like the big song in that was Putting on the Ritz.
Yes.
So then they built a musical. Putting on the Ritz was still the big number, but then they had all these original tunes too. So you could do the same thing, keep
that
Got
one
a Spell
song.
On You, and then write all a bunch of whole new original stuff. And Disney's they got the Lopez's, they got...
For sure. Beetlejuice as well, right? Miranda. Beetlejuice is the same deal.
Yeah, yeah. Disney has heavyweight composers. Mm-hmm. You could get some great original stuff. So I don't know. Why do you want to jukebox it? I don't know. That's just my instinct. But
well, I'm just thinking jukebox for the sequel of the movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. If this is going to be a Disney Plus thing, you're only getting one song in it anyway, probably.
Have you guys seen like the teaser image of the Hocus Pocus 2, like the poster kind of thing?
No.
And there is a catchphrase on it, and it says, "Revenge is a witch."
Oh, that's not bad either. Yeah. I like "There'll Be Heck to Pay More," but yeah, it's not bad.
I was just thinking of that part of the song back.
Apparently, none of this stuff is confirmed. Like, I think all the actors, Kathy Najimy and Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler, have all kind of said that they would be interested, but nothing's in stone. Like, they haven't got them yet. It's just a lot of, we're doing this, come do it with us. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Well, listen, Disney, we've just laid out some very bold and exciting ideas. And here's your shot. You know, if you want a slice, you know, you just got to cut us in. 10 points. Boom. We have a deal. We have a bargain. Is that okay? 10? Are you guys cool with 10 points? Just 10 points.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe a producing credit. You know, something.
Oh, like I would love that. That'd be very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. So you're welcome to these fresh take ideas. All right, guys. Well, hey, I think this is a good place to wrap up our show. Thanks so much for tuning in today, friends. If you enjoyed it, feel free to rate, review. We really like it, and it helps us out. That'd be really
nice. It does. It really does, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. If you want to hit us up, maybe you have a way better idea for a Hocus Pocus 2 script. Maybe you're Adam Shankman, and you've got some thoughts. Hit us up. What's up at WeLikeThemeParks.com. You can always find us on Instagram at WeLikeThemeParks and on our website, WeLikeThemeParks.com. Check them all out. They're all cool. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
All right, friends, for Mark and Miriam, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
we like
theme parks. Miriam, did you say it too? Was it just Mark and I?
Yeah, that was real quiet.
Stop being quiet. You got to like amp it up, man. Like turn it up to 11. Okay, let's do a tester right now. Here we go. Miriam, go.
So
Miriam, so unreasured Miriam.
You know what? She screamed it in her heart.
Oh, it's like riding a coaster in Japan. Yeah, scream it in your heart.
It's like all of 2020. Good grief.
All right, friends. See you next week. Bye. We like theme parks. Do we like theme parks podcast?